this morning we begin a new series called Obedient. And this is all leading up to our missions conference. Every September we take time to focus on the mission that Jesus gave us. Believe it or not, what he wanted most for us wasn't to become happy or just to be full of all the good things that we could want and do and be. But he actually gave us a mission to accomplish while we're here on earth. And so we take time every September to talk about that mission. And so today we're starting a series called Obedient that focuses on the be part of obedient. It says, well, we're going to talk about being Jesus's heart, being his hands, and being his voice. So that's the part of being obedient. Today we're going to start off with that first part of be his heart. We'll see the other ones in the coming weeks. But today we talk about be his heart, and when we talk about missions, about the mission that Jesus gave us, it is summarized in one of the most beautiful verses in the whole Bible. In fact, this verse may have been quoted and memorized more than any other verse. It's John chapter 3 and verse 16. John 3:16 is so famous. Sometimes during football games, you're going to look up, somebody's kicking a field goal, and somebody's got a big sign that says John 3:16 on it. You'll see it a lot of places. In fact, if you don't have this verse memorized, I encourage you to memorize it. Commit it to your memory and your heart so that God can act upon it even more in your life and use it and bring it up when he wants. So take some time and memorize it. It's up on the screen right now for all those who haven't memorized it just yet. And that's something you'll be working on, I'm sure. John 3:16 just says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, there's some things I want to just draw out of that, just as an introduction into this idea of being his heart. And one thing that's obvious from this beautiful verse, the most quoted verse in the Bible, is "For God so loved the world." We talk about be his heart, we're talking about God's heart is for the mission. God loves the world. And the world aren't people who deserve his love. They're not the best and the cleanest. The world is God's enemy. They hate God. They despise him. They disobey him. They rebel against him. They blaspheme him. They take his name in vain. They do everything and value everything that is contrary to him. Yet God loves the world. His heart is for the world. If you want to be God's heart, you've got to understand that God's heart is for the world. He loves the world. But notice in this verse, it doesn't end there. "For God so loved the world," it motivated God to action. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." And what we've learned a lot about love in the last couple years, as we've studied the book of Ephesians and now 1 Thessalonians, we've learned that love is not an emotion or a feeling. Love is an act of your will. It's a choice, a decision that you make to place what's best for someone else above what you want. And that's what God does. He loves the world in a way that motivates him to action. Love is a verb. So God gives. So today, as we talk about being obedient, we'll talk about being God's heart in the form with the action of giving. And notice, what God gave was not some small tip. It wasn't some small gift. It wasn't even a decent gift. It was the absolute best that he had. It was the most valuable thing to God. It was his only begotten Son. Today, when we talk about missions giving, we're not talking about contributing a little bit here or there, tossing a 20 in the plate every now and then. What we're talking about is giving the way God gave, the best that you have. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it's on the subject of missions giving. And this is, Paul said that giving generously, that proves the sincerity of your love. In fact, those are the exact words that he used. uses. He says, prove the sincerity of your love. Talk is cheap. It's easy to say that you love, but if you're really God's heart, you're going to put your money where your mouth is. You're going to give to missions. You're going to give your best. An offering like God did. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the last thing I want to bring out, there's lots of stuff in this verse, but the last thing I want you to notice today about that verse is that it's a focus on the spiritual. The emphasis is not on the physical needs of mankind, but on the spiritual needs. See, God's solution, God's what he gave, his gift, his only begotten son. Why did he do that? Is that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God wasn't, although there was hunger at the time, God's focus, his emphasis was not on relieving world hunger. And although there was sickness at the time, God's main focus was not on healing temporary sicknesses and diseases that exist in this temporary physical life. God was focused on the spiritual and eternal need. Today, as we talk about, and over the course of this month, as we talk about missions, we're not talking about contributing to a temporary humanitarian need, not one of government, not a need of clean water or food or education. And certainly all those are important, but they're important to having an open door for the gospel. We'll even talk about some project. We'll have a special project where you can help meet a physical need so that missionaries who are there can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, if all we do is just meet the physical needs, that after someone lives another 30, 50, 70 years, they're still going to die without Jesus and go to hell. If that's all we do is cure diseases and dig wells and sanitize water and pass out food and give education, if those are the things that we focus on, we're missing the eternal significance of what God's heart is about. See, it'd be like treating physical needs without curing the spiritual need is like giving Botox injections to somebody dying of AIDS. Why would we want to superficially treat those temporary problems? So we're going to talk today about being God's heart in the way of missions, in your giving to missions, and the idea of meeting a spiritual need. And the bottom line for today, it's up on the screen, it says, being God's heart means being obedient to missions giving. So if you would, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 with me. 1 Corinthians 16 is a great passage. 1 Corinthians is just full of correction from the Apostle Paul to this church at Corinth. But then when you get to chapter 16, he gives some instruction. Let's check it out. 1 Corinthians 16, if you didn't bring a Bible with you today, there should be one underneath a chair that's close by. And if you're not sure where 1 Corinthians is, there's a table of contents in the beginning that will help you find that page number. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we're going to check out verses 1 through 3. Let's read them together. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Now there's two things I want you to see about this passage today. And the first one, it's up on the screen, is the need of the world. I want you to see the need of the world. See, there's a collection that's being taken here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul is mandating that they take a collection, that they receive an offering, basically. In a lot of churches, they may pass a plate around during the offering time. Some people call that the offering plate. Some people call it the collection plate. That's what he's doing here. It's not necessarily with a plate that they pass around, but they are receiving a collection. And so the way we do that at our church is we don't have plates that we pass around. In the back over here by the door, as you walked in, there is a offerings box. And we just allow you to put your offering into an envelope, and In fact, grab one of those envelopes that's right in front of you. We'll just take a look at that really quickly. It's got a little place for your tithe. That's the money that we use here locally. We'll talk about that in the future. And then it says also that there's missions. And so you can give to missions as well. And so that's what he's really talking about here is missions giving. Because the offering that he's telling them, the collection that he's talking about, is not to stay in Corinth, where these Corinthians live. It's to go to another city. In fact, to another country, all the way over into Jerusalem. That's what the end of verse 3 says. Where are they going to send that liberality? They send it to Jerusalem. You know why? Because there's a need in Jerusalem. And this offering, this collection, is not the one for the local ministry. That's the tithe. That's what takes care of the ministry right here where we are in Bartow County. This is for the need in other places of the world. That's what missions giving is all about. It's about making disciples, evangelizing, establishing churches in other areas of the world where we aren't, but they need help to get the gospel there. We can be a part of it. And Paul's saying that's what it's for. It's not for the local ministry, but for the global mission. And the reason specifically why they're sending it to Jerusalem is because there's a need there. There's a verse that's up on the screen. It's Acts 11:28. Really cool verse because it talks about a prophet named Agabus. Now, this prophet, believe it or not, you know, this may sound kind of crazy to you, but back before the New Testament was completed and people had the words of God, they needed somebody to stand up and say, this is the word of God. And then they had some guys who were prophets that would even say, this to prove to you this is the word of God, let me tell you exactly some very measurable things that are going to happen, very specific things that are going to happen, practical things. Acts 11:28, it says, there stood up one of them named Agabus, he's a prophet, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world. Now that dearth is the idea of a famine. And he said, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. This prophet got up and said, hey, there's going to be a dearth, a famine in Jerusalem and really throughout all the world. Well, in Jerusalem, these believers were really hit hard by that. A lot of it because of the persecution that they're facing too. But I want you to know this, that today there's a need in the world. Amos 8:11 talks about it a little. We're just going to cover it briefly up on the screen. It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. There's a famine of the word of God. And like the world hunger need, we have plenty of spiritual food right here. We're just not distributing it to the places that need it. All over this world, people need the gospel, but they're not hearing it. Check out this statistic. There are the people who study societies, they say that there are 11,290 people groups in the world. Of those, 61% of those people groups are unreached. What that means is they have less than 2% of their population that are believers in Jesus Christ. And that makes up for 4 billion people. That's more than half of planet Earth live in societies where they do not have enough people to share the gospel. 2% is a number that they would say, if you have 2% of the population, then you could probably have a gospel witness that people could find. Less than 2%, even when somebody's wanting to know, they can't find the gospel. And here's a big place. There's a picture up on the screen. This is called missiologists, people who study missions. They call this the 1040 window. That's the area between 10 degrees north latitude and 40 degrees north latitude of Africa and Asia. That 1040 window is where 4.5 billion people live. Two-thirds of the world's population live in those highlighted countries right there. And 90% are unevangelized. But what that means is 90% of the most populated places in the world have never heard the gospel. Of the 55 least evangelized countries, 97% of them are in that 1040 window. See, there's a need in the world, and we have the solution. We have the gospel. So we need to make sure that that gets to those areas. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Notice what Jesus is saying there. He's saying you're going to be witnesses in four different places at the same time, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost. How can you be witnesses in all those places? By giving to missions. By giving to missions, you are being a witness where you aren't even at. I want to show you, there's a picture up on the screen of what we call the Connect Church Missions Map. This is just a map of the world, and you can see those different highlighted areas where we're partnered with missionaries who are taking the gospel, making disciples, planting churches, and all over the world. Some of those are in that 1040 window. We'll talk about those in just a second. But when Jesus laid out those four different areas, he talked about Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is like Bartow County for us. That Jerusalem is where those disciples were. They were in Jerusalem. So he says, be a witness both where you're at. So we call that Bartow County. And so all the local outreaches that we have, like the Trunk or Treat and the Backyard VBS that we did in the summer, the Graffiti Night for Teens that we did in the summer, the Easter Extravaganza, all those kind of things are, those are local outreaches that we do. Every Wednesday night, we have a neighborhood outreach that we're going out prayer walking, we're making contacts with people and trying to share the gospel with them. And so all of those things are to reach our Jerusalem. And that's besides just you on your own time being a witness to your family, your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors. So we're supposed to be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem. And it also says, and in all Judea. Now, Judea was the city, or was the province, what we would call the country, where Jerusalem was. And so we would consider our Judea to be the United States. It's the people of our country. They speak our language. They are in our culture for the most part. And so we'd call the United States that. Now, we were partnered with a person in the Atlanta area, a missionary who was going to be planting a church in Atlanta. But that kind of didn't work out. And so he's going somewhere else to start a church. We are talking with somebody, a church planter in Tampa, Florida, that we'd love to partner with to help establish a church in our Judea. And so we're doing that. And then next is in all Samaria. Samaria was the area adjacent to Judea. And they had a different culture. And there was probably a little racism going on. In fact, there was racism going on between those in Judea and those in Samaria. And so that would kind of be that different culture that's right adjacent to us. We just call that all of North America, Central America, North America, that area. And who we support there, we're partnered with the Yaders, Bob and Tessa Yater in Guatemala City. Man, I'm just so excited about all the things that he's doing there. Some of the things that are coming up, we're going to let you know about them. We've got a special project that we'll be doing this in our missions conference to be a part of what they're doing. In October, we're taking a team to Guatemala to see the mission field. They've only been there since January, and God is using them tremendously to make a great impact for his kingdom. And so we're partnered with them in our Samaria. And the last kind of grouping is the uttermost. That's just everywhere else, outside of North and Central America, everywhere else, South America, Asia, Africa, Europe, Australia, all these areas, that's the uttermost. And so we support several different works around the country, as you can see on that missions map up there. Connect is partnered with missionary Brian Clark in London, England. Those are the pictures of them, by the way. They're not just random people we're throwing up there. Those are actually the missionaries who we're supporting and we're partnered with. But In London, England, we have Brian and Mindy Clark, their family. They've been ministering there, excited about how God uses them. These guys are out there sharing the gospel. And you know what? As you give, you're being a part of their ministry right there in England. In Peru, we are partnered with missionary David Gardner and Arequipa, Peru. In fact, we watched a video a couple of weeks ago of the new church that was starting out of their ministry. And so you got to see their first week. You got a little video clip of their first week having church services at this new church plant. And they are planting churches all over Peru and all over the world. In fact, we'll talk about some stuff going on in North Africa in the country of Morocco. And some of the Peruvians have gone there to be what they call the gospel pilgrims. They're just traveling the countryside. They don't even know where they're going to stay, and they're just sharing the gospel with people. Okay, let's keep looking. The next one is the Métis. Now the Métis are a people group, and we're partnered with TTI, the Timothy Initiative, to train church planters among the Métis people. And so the Métis people are 34 million people in India and Nepal. And until just a few years ago, they were unengaged. Now, unengaged is different than unreached. They're still unreached because they don't have 2% of their population as believers in Jesus yet. But they were unengaged a few years ago, meaning no one was even trying to reach them. But we've been a part of what God is doing. In fact, just this last year, listen to what God did in the Métis people. 3,780 professions of faith and baptisms in 2013. They don't count the salvations unless they're also baptized. That's a big step for those guys who may face a lot of persecution from their Hindu or Buddhist or maybe even Muslim relatives. But they're stepping out. And in their community, sometimes they're ostracized. Sometimes they're beaten. Sometimes their houses are burned. But 3,780 people just last year decided to place their faith in Jesus and make it public despite all the persecution. In that process, 443 churches were started. We're training church planters. We train 16 church planters every year. Isn't that awesome? 16 guys are going out and reaching these churches. Most of the churches have anywhere from 10 to 20 people in them. So we changed 16. There are 16 churches that were just started this past year because of you and what you did. 573 church planters are being trained in 2013. And so, you know, we have a big part of that, and God's really using us. Also, we partner with TTI to train church planters in Vietnam. Vietnam's a communist country. It's in East Asia, and there's a lot of things that are going on, but we got in right at the ground level. They are just in the very beginning stages of training the trainers who will be training the church planters, and now the church planters are being trained. And so it won't be long before we'll start seeing, Lord willing, some of those professions of faith and baptism, some of those churches started in Vietnam. The last one is North Africa. By the way, Métis people are in the 1040 window. The Vietnamese people are in the 1040 window. And North Africa is, there's a country called Morocco. They've started three churches in strategic cities in Morocco, as well as getting Bibles and gospel witnesses throughout the country. Last week, you saw some baptisms, some pictures of baptisms that were happening from one of those churches. And we're partnered with missionary Aaron Bayshore in Morocco. Here's something really cool. I just received a DVD documentary about a mission work in Morocco, North Africa. You know who it featured? Our missionary, Aaron Bayshore. I've got that on DVD. We'll be getting with you about a time when you can see that. It is really cool to be able to put some faces and voices with some of the names that you hear, like Mustafa, like Marwan, like Saeed. And so you get to see some of those the gospel pilgrims, Joel and Cesar, who, by the way, have already been deported. They were thrown in jail and deported for sharing the gospel. And so two more Peruvians from that ministry that we support in Peru, they've come to take their place. But listen, let me ask you a question. How far does your impact reach? Do you give a tithe? Do you give 10%? That's to fund the local ministry here, everything we do in Bartow County. But does your heart stop there? Does it stop at the border of Bartow County? Because Bartow County, the population is 100,000. That makes up 0.00015 of the world's population. That's a hard number to grasp, right? But check this out. To understand that number, if you compared the world to a mile, Bartow County would be less than an inch. But you can have an impact on that whole mile, on the whole world, by giving to missions. Missions giving is you being God's heart. Remember, that's where God's heart is. He so loved the world that he gave. One other thing I want to show you that will help you develop God's heart for the world. Certainly, it results in giving. But one thing you can do is pray. We have this prayer book. Here it is. It's called Operation World. My family and I have been praying over that. Abby, Stacy, and I, we pray over what it does is it takes every country in the world and it lines it up for each night or each day of the year, how you could pray for all these different countries and all these different people groups and different provinces and some of the larger countries where you'll be praying longer for them. But you're basically praying for the world each year. And so each year we're praying for the whole world. I encourage you to get involved and get one of those. You can buy one of these books used for like $5. But it'll list every country. You don't have to use that. Maybe you just want to go to this website where you can find it. This has some cool information. It'll tell you what the population is, how many people are evangelical, which means that they believe that you're saved by putting your faith in the gospel of Jesus. But all of those things are ways for you to find out more. And as you begin to pray, God starts to give you his heart for the world. And it should result in giving, just like it did for God. So that's the need of the world. The last thing I want us to look at from this passage, 1 Corinthians 16, is the offering for the world. Notice what he says here. In verse 1, and you might not like this. It says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." Paul says, "I'm giving orders." Now we know what orders are, right? They're not suggestions. They're not advice. These are orders, and they're given under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Not just for Corinth, and not just for Galatia, but for all churches. That we should all, not that we should, we have to give in that collection for the world. Now, there are three different levels of missions giving, and some of them, this one specifically, is required. Just like the tithe is required, God says, the tithe belongs to me. If you don't give it to me, you're robbing me. And you'll be under a curse if you do that. The good news is, if you obey him, he says, I got a blessing for you if you obey. So the tithe is required. And so is this level of missions giving that he's talking about here in 1 Corinthians 16. It's the, what we call, the as prospered giving. And that's what he calls them. How much do you give? And the tithe, it's simple. God lays out and he says, a tithe literally means a tenth. So if you make $1,000, your tithe is $100. If you make $100, your tithe is $10. If you make $500, your tithe is $50. Okay, the as prospered giving, it isn't like a set amount as much as it's going to be different. He says, as lay in store as God hath prospered you. However much God has prospered you. There are some expenses that you have, right? You pay for your housing, you pay for your transportation, you pay for your food, your clothing, your retirement account. And the amount you have left over after you pay your bills is the amount that God has prospered you. Maybe this year God has given you a raise or a promotion. Maybe this year your car has just, God has kept that thing running longer than you expected. And you budgeted some certain amount to pay on maintenance, and it hasn't worked out that way. You know, you've been real good. Maybe you just had a child that got out of diapers, and you're thinking, man, what am I going to do with all this money? Have you ever figured out how much money it is for diapers? Zach and Nicole are going to have twins. Can you imagine what they're going to be spending on diapers? Whew. Maybe you had a child who just got out of formula. Man, you can save some serious money. God has prospered you a lot. And you're thinking, what am I going to do with all this money? In all of those cases, you realize that God has prospered me. And he says, whatever I prosper you, give to missions. Now, this is contrary to our culture and our own feelings, because we're very selfish by nature. And we think, well, if I got more money, I should spend it more money on myself. And God says, no, give as I have prospered you. That's required. Now, there's two more levels I'm going to briefly talk about. Those two levels are not required. They're voluntary. One's sacrificial giving. We talked about as prospered giving, but this is sacrificial giving. This is where you would have to cut some things out of your budget. You'd have to give up something to be able to give more. This isn't required. It's a sweet-smelling savor. Just like the Old Testament offerings, there were some offerings, like the sin offering, that was required. But there were some that were voluntary, that you could just say, I just love God so much. I'm so excited about what he's done in my life. And I'm living for his kingdom more than this earthly kingdom here. So I'm going to give up some of this stuff. I don't need this new car. I don't need to upgrade my wardrobe. I don't need to do this or that. I want to invest in eternal things. And God says, oh, that smells good. They're caring more about my kingdom than they are about this world and the things that it offers. And that's from Philippians chapter 4. It talks about this voluntary offering called the sacrificial giving. And in that context, Paul says that that's when fruit begins to abound to your account. You see, when you give just a little bit, you get just a little bit. But as you begin to sacrifice, then you start getting lots of fruits. You see, up in heaven, what happens is when you give, the fruit from how God uses those resources in Morocco, in Peru, in England, in the Maytilling, in Vietnam, in Guatemala, all over. He says, man, that's fruit in your account. And when you start to sacrifice so that you can give more, God said, now it's abounding. We're not talking about some retirement account where you're going to get, 8% return or 12% or 20% return, and then you're going to leave this earth and none of it's going to matter. Eternal heavenly rewards. And in that same context, that's where you get the verse from Philippians 4 that says, my God shall supply all your need. That's in the context of a church who's giving sacrificially to missions. Because you know what happens when you give sacrificially? God takes care of your needs. In that same Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, you've done it, you did it once, and you did it again too. Because once you give sacrificially, you start to learn what Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than receive. And I want to give more. You don't find people giving sacrificially and then saying, you know what, that was good for a little while, but I just like to please myself now. Man, no way. Sacrificial giving is about giving up what I want, but it's not required. It's just a voluntary thing. If God lays that on your heart, you can. Then there's another level of giving. It's even beyond sacrificial giving. This is what we call faith giving. This is from 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Paul talks about, he's telling the church at Corinth about some believers who gave beyond their power. They gave more than they could afford to give. God said, I want you to give this amount. And they said, whoa, I can't even sacrifice enough to get to that amount. But they sacrifice and then they just give and they say, God, I just trust you that you're going to take care of our needs. And you know what God does? He takes care of your needs. And in that context, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, he says, when you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Listen, he said, when you are given a little bit, you are getting a little bit in your heavenly account. But when you sow bountifully, when you give a lot, when you give much, you reap much. But here in 1 Corinthians 16, he's talking about the as prospered giving. And he says, I've given orders. And the orders aren't just for those people who are rich or those people who really have a heart for missions. You know, I really don't have a heart for missions, so I think maybe I shouldn't do that. No, he says everyone. That's his words, the exact words. In verse 2, it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you. Let's try a little example, because usually we're pretty good at figuring out how the Bible doesn't mean what it really says. And so let's just kind of look at it and analyze what it says. This is very complicated, but in 3 seconds, I'm going to ask for everyone to raise their hand. If you're everyone, I want you to raise your hand. Okay, you ready? One, two, wait a minute. Just some of you just snapped out like you heard the counting and you were like, wait, what's going on here? I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, I want everyone to raise their hand. Ready? One, two, three. Right, okay, very good. I think everyone raised their hand. Now, it's not if you have a heart for missions. It's not if you have a heart for a certain country. Not if you're rich. But God has ordered every one of us to be involved. If you just raised your hand, God wants you to give as much as he's prospered you. You don't have to give sacrificially. You don't have to give faith by faith. But you have to give as he's prospered you. That's required. You know what's sad is the Center for Study of Global Christianity says Christians spend 99.9% of their income on themselves. A tenth of 1% they spend outside of their own consumption. Americans spend the same amount of money on diet programs every year as they give to missions. Americans spend more money on dog food per year than on global missions. I want you to see one more thing. It's the liberality. At the end of verse 3, it uses that word. He says, well, whoever you appoint by your letters, that's the person that I'll send to bring your liberality to Jerusalem. The word liberality, it just means with much. It means bounty. We might use the word generosity. This large amount. And you know what these Corinthians, it wasn't that they had some big givers, you know, that, man, these people are, those two people right there are really going to carry it. But when everybody, or as the word is, everyone gives as much as God has prospered them. It may be not be a lot. You may look at it and say, you know, how could my small offering make a difference all over the world? But when we all, every one of us, give as God has prospered us, it makes for bounty. It makes for a generous and liberal offering. God can take what seems small among us, and together it's big. You can make a significant impact by just being obedient in missions giving. In fact, that's the bottom line for today, right? Being God's heart means being obedient to missions giving. Now, really quickly, I want to lay out some details about our some things we've got coming up. The first thing is this, missions conference. So we're doing a few messages to lead up, but on Sunday the 21st of September, we're going to kick off our missions conference. And that we're going to start that morning here at Connect. Well, there will be a missionary here, and they'll be presenting how God is using them and kind of this kicking off this idea of being obedient. And so we're really excited about that. Don't miss that. The 21st. So that's in just a few weeks. Then we've got Monday through Wednesday, which are the 22nd through the 24th. We'll be at Oakland Heights. That's our mother church. It's up in North Cartersville. That's Monday through Wednesday. Each of those evenings will be there for their missions conference. And they'll be doing some fantastic things. Tuesday morning, during the morning, they'll have some breakout sessions where you can come and men will be giving field reports. Women, they'll separate them out separately, and the women will be sharing their experiences and their heart and things that have been going on in their countries, and as they're serving on the field, or some of them as they're getting ready to go to the field. You don't want to miss that. In fact, that's some of the best parts of people, especially the women, have really loved that. I don't even know everything that goes on in that room, but I just know they all come out crying and hugging and stuff like that. So it kind of scares me a little bit. I like being with the men where they just talk about what's going on, what God's doing. That's really exciting too, so don't miss that. And then on the last Sunday of this month of September, September 28th, we'll be making our giving commitments. In fact, I've got a little card here. You don't have one yet, but it just has a place for you to make a commitment for the year. This is how much God is telling me to give. This is where God is leading me. This is the amount of investment that I'm making in His kingdom for this year, for the next 12 months, right? Until next September. And so you can make your commitments on there, and you'll be getting one of those cards where you can do your part. Every one of us have a part to play, right? Every one of us giving at least as much as God has prospered us. Some of you are going to go farther. You're going to give sacrificially. Some of you may go farther than that. You're going to give by faith and just trust God to take care of you, and He will. One other thing we're going to do is we're going to take a special offering on that last Sunday, September 28th. It's a one-time offering. We're going to take it. We're going to tell you more about what God's doing in Guatemala, how you can be a part of that during the missions conference, so don't miss it. That starts on the 21st, but all this month we'll be leading up to it. One last announcement. Next week, we'll be celebrating our two-year birthday. So we're 2 years old. We're going to bring on the terrible twos. We're going to throw a party, and that'll be at the barn from 4 to 7 p.m. You don't want to miss that. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm just talking to somebody earlier this week, and they told me, you know, I'm naturally an introvert, and it's tough for me to meet people and put myself in these situations, but I know I need to make those kind of connections, and so I'm going to be there, and I'm going to build relationships within my church family. So I'm really excited about that. You guys make sure you're there for that. There'll be some cake and games and stuff like that. We'll have food there, dinner as well, so make sure you're there for that. Thank you guys for being here today. We're going to close with praying over the prayer requests that are on the bulletin.